Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Jammu and Kashmir Bank Results Conference Call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chintan Shah. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Riya. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Q3 FY24 earnings conference call for Jammu and Kashmir Bank. We have with us from the management, Mr. Baldev Prakash, Managing Director and CEO, along with the senior management team. So without further delay, I would now like to hand over the floor to the management. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chintan. A very good morning and warm welcome to all the participants to the Jammu and Kashmir Bank December 2023 earnings call on this very auspicious and special occasion when the Ramlala Pran Pratishtha is being held at Ayodhya. First, let me introduce my management team who are accompanying me on this call. Our Executive Director, Mr. Sudhir Gupta, our Corporate Credit Head, Mr. Ashutosh Sareen.
Good morning.
Our Commercial and Consumer Credit Head, Mr. Narjay Gupta, our IAPM Head, Mr. Shuja Andrabi, our DLM Head, Mr. Shafat Rufai, our CFO, Mr. Prateek Punjabi, and our CRO, Dr. Altaf Kia. As per the analyst forecast, India is expected to be the fastest-growing major economy over the next 3 years, and growth rates ranging from 6.5%-7%, and is poised to become the world's third-largest economy by year 2030. Overall credit growth in the country has been robust in Q3 as well. However, lagging deposit growth and increase in credit-deposit ratio is being viewed as a concern by the regulator. Rising cost of funds is also somewhat crimping the profitability and interest margins for most lenders. During the quarter, RBI flagged system-wide high growth in some components of consumer credit and, as a countercyclical measure, raised risk weights for unsecured consumer loans and banks' exposures to NBFCs. This significantly impacted the CRAR of banks with varying intensity depending upon their level of exposures to such segments. While the Jammu and Kashmir and Ladakh growth story is shaping up fast with the establishment of rail links to connect landlocked Kashmir with the rest of the country, yet the weather this year played a little dampener, no snowfall impacting the winter tourist inflow in the valley. However, the pilgrim rush to Mata Vaishno Devi Shrine continues unabated. Met Department has predicted a wet spell towards the end of this month, which is bound to bring some cheer for the tourist industry and the agriculturists as well. December quarter and 9 months' results of the bank reflect business growth mostly aligned with the industry, especially on the credit front. Advances growing at 15.6% YOY and deposits slightly lagging at 9%. The bank still has the levers in the form of low credit-deposit ratio to expand credit at a faster pace than deposit growth. Despite challenges on the liability front, our CASA ratio is hovering above the 50% mark, sustaining the previous quarter level. Advances growth has been broad-based both in regional and sectoral distribution. While J&K book has grown by over 12%, rest of India has registered 19% YOY growth. Among sectors, housing 21%, SME 21%, mostly driven by services. Credit card 24% has been the major overall. The thrust on retail in rest of India is evident from YOY growth of 24% in housing and 36% in car loans. The ratio of retail to corporate loans in our overall portfolio is 2:1. The hallmark performance metric of improvement in asset quality has been further reinforced. Controlled slippages of 1.29% annualized for the 9 months period and the continuation of recovery momentum have resulted in our gross NPA coming down to 4.84%, inching towards our market guidance, while net NPA of 0.83% is already well below our year-end guidance levels. What needs to be appreciated that here that this has been achieved without resorting to any write-offs. Even in the restructured NPA loan book, there has been upgrade of about rupees 100 crores during Q3. It would be pertinent to mention that two accounts of Adani Power, Maharashtra, which had been subjected to flexible structuring and had outstanding balance of about rupees 175 crores at the end of the last quarter, also got adjusted during the December quarter. For infusing more strength and resilience to the balance sheet, the bank has made additional provisions of rupees 118 crores over and above the RBI stipulations of non-performing loans during the quarter. Besides reducing the subsequent aging provision requirement, it has resulted in improving the coverage ratio to 91.61% and reducing the overall net NPA to just rupees 741 crores. To take care of any stress buildup, bank is also maintaining buffer of additional provisions of rupees 113 crores for standard assets over the regulatory requirement plus a floating provision of rupees 124 crores. The total contingency provisions that the bank is maintaining are rupees 670 crores. The credit cost as a result of significant provision write-back is zero and it is expected to remain benign during the last quarter as well. The capital adequacy front, bank has raised 750 crores equity capital via QIP in Q3 pursuant to listing and trading approvals by BSE and NSE for the shares issued by the bank under ESPS 2023. We have also reckoned rupees 338 crores in the core capital as on 31st December 23. However, the impact of increased risk weights on consumer credit and exposure to NBFCs consumed significant additional capital, resulting in capital adequacy ratio of 14.18% as on December 2023. The CRAR of 14.18% does not include the 9-month profit figure of 1,128 crores, which would result in increment of 138 basis points in the ratio. Here, I would emphasize that we have applied the increased risk weights as per regulatory direction, although our consumer credit portfolio is mostly in the form of loans to the government employees of J&K and Ladakh UTs, which almost nil, with almost nil delinquency and by virtue of subsisting MOUs with the UT governments can be deemed as adequately secure. The income statement is reflective of good growth in interest income at the rate of 21% YOY for the 9 months period and 18% for Q3. However, due to high rise in interest expended at 32% YOY for 9 months period and 35% YOY for Q3, net interest income has increased by only 11% YOY for the 9 months period. The surge in interest expended is the outcome of major repricing of maturing term deposits, reinvestments of overdue deposits, mobilization of fresh term deposits and CDs at higher rates, especially in Q2, plus some internal cannibalization, full impact whereof was borne in Q3. As on December 2023, average cost of term deposits of the bank excluding CDs, is 7.24%, and 82% of the total deposits are in the 7% to 8% and above 8% interest rate buckets. Thus, there is limited scope of further repricing of term deposits, and with redemption of CDs during the current quarter, plus scheduled maturity of ₹10,700 crores term deposits from the high interest rate buckets, that is 7% and above, the cost of deposits is expected to remain within 4.75% to 4.8% for Q4, thus signaling a plateau with a bias towards tapering going down. However, our endeavor will be to improve it by augmenting our CASA further, which is expected to be aided by the release of government payments, generally happens in Q4, realization of fruit payments, and participation of our recently concluded POS and QR campaigns. Owing to recoveries in technical write-off accounts getting delayed, other income of the current year 9 months period is down by 10% YOY, while it is 41% down for Q3. However, anticipated resolutions of some technical write-off accounts in Q4 shall improve this metric. Operating profit for the 9 months period is 14% higher than the previous year, while PAT for the period is 57% higher, backed by benign credit cost. With 9 months profit for current year converging towards the full year PAT for the last year, the ROA as a result has improved to 1.06% for 9 months and 1.15% for the quarter. There is some good news on employee cost front also. The consultant hired by the bank has identified sizable excess provisions in some superannuation funds, gratuity in particular, and advised not to make additional provisions towards this fund. The consultant has also advised shifting to purchase of non-ROC annuities for pension payments, which shall result in reduced recurring cost on a sustained basis. The staff cost to total income has improved to 20.72% for Q3 vis-a-vis 26.79% in Q3 of the previous fiscal. Despite lower growth in net total income, the cost to income ratio has moderated slightly to 62.36%. All in all, the stage is set for a good culminating quarter for the current financial year, and we are sure to improve further and deliver better results. Once again, I thank you all and acknowledge your guidance, support and trust, and we expect it to continue in the coming days. I will be glad to have your questions now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Mr. Manish Otswal from Nirmal Bang Security Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. And first of all, congratulations to the such a great turnaround of the bank under your leadership and your entire team. So, congratulations to the team and your leadership. My question on the first on the deposit growth side, we have grown lower than our advance growth. Even industry growth rate is 13%. So, why we are not able to grow the deposit commensurate to the growth in the loan book?
Yeah. Manish, thank you very much. And this deposit growth, as you have indicated, is around 9% for us. Generally, the fourth quarter for the bank remains always good as far as the deposit growth is concerned, because in the second and third quarter, the money is generally withdrawn by the farmers for their crops. And in the fourth quarter, generally it comes back, and then this money is mainly remains in the CASA, and that has been a little challenging for the bank as far as Q3 was concerned. But Q4, we are quite sure that we will be touching to the level which industry is expecting.
Yeah. The second question on the rest of India portfolio, which grew 19% YOY. So can you talk about the segments where we have grown, whether it is a consortium kind of lending or retail loan growth? So what is the color of growth in the rest of the India portfolio?
Yeah. So Ashutosh, you have some data with you? So let me start with the retail loan. As far as housing loan is concerned, our rest of India book has grown by 24%, but the overall growth has been 400 crores. In the Jammu and Kashmir, it is 2,055 crores. So, while percentage is high, but overall the gross number is 400 crores. Car loan, the growth is 35% though, but it is 63%. 63 crores. And for the corporate book?
I'm Ashutosh Sareen. Good morning. The corporate book during the quarter ended December 2023, it has moderated in a way that although the disbursements have been to the extent of more than 3,500 crores, but simultaneously there has been some repayments expected and unexpected also. But at the same time, what we have been doing, we have continued with our strategy. There has been mostly the lending has been to the top corporates and the PSUs, the Maharatan and Navratan and AAA portfolio, which will be reflected in our external ranking book, which has increased during this quarter.
So, Manish, we are selecting our customers on our own, so we are not entering into the consortiums as you indicated as far as corporate book is concerned. The selection of borrower is of our choice.
Okay. And on the
corporate growth has been 15.32% for the quarter.
Sure, sir.
On the YOY.
Yeah, yeah. And on the provision provision line for the quarter three and the full year is a very, very low number compared to the last year, and that is helping us to report 57% PAT growth for the 9 months. So first, whether the recovery piece is almostly done in our books, or we still see the very low credit cost in the coming quarter, or even FY25, what is the trajectory you see given the quality, underlying quality trend in the bank?
Yes. So Manish, if you see that our credit cost has been zero for quite some time, and as I have indicated that it is expected to remain in this range in around zero level during the last quarter as well. And because we are expecting the write backs during the next year also, so in the next year also, this credit cost will be quite benign.
Sure. Sir, there's one thing, the deposit repricing in our book and the impact on the net interest margin. So do you believe the current margin can sustain, or there is some downward trajectory in margins, net interest margin for the bank?
Yeah. So, Manish, let me assure you and everybody that this is the outcome of major repricing of our maturing term deposits and mobilization of fresh term deposit and CDs. And as I have indicated, that average cost of term deposits for the bank, excluding CD, is 7.24. And this portfolio is 82%. And the term deposits are in the range of 7% to 8% and above 8%. So now there is very limited scope for further repricing of term deposits, and this redemption of CDs during the current quarter will be leading us to a expected cost of deposit to 4.75 to 4.8% in Q4. You want to add something?
Yes.
And NIM for Q4 will be above our 3.90% guidance. That much I can assure you.
Lastly, sir, most of our metrics is very comparable to the other well-performing banks. The only area where we need to improve our performance is the cost-to-income ratio, which is on a higher side. So what we are doing to achieve to reduce this cost-to-income ratio and improve the productivity at a branch level and overall bank level, basically?
Manish, a few steps are being taken for that. One, of course, is the staff cost has improved vis-a-vis our last year and last quarters also, as I have indicated in my talk. And the second thing is we are in the process of transforming the bank to a digital platform, wherein the staff will be more deployed towards marketing and sourcing. And this will happen this year only. And maximum people will be for the purpose of marketing and sourcing of business as per the industry good banks norms. So we are quite confident that going forward also the staff costs will be limited, number one. Number two, the more people will be deployed towards marketing, the average business, average profit per employee will go up, and obviously it will be moderating the cost to income ratio.
And last one, data point, what should the tax rate one should assume? Because the last quarter it was 30%, now it is 24.8% a full year, and 9 months is 27.45%. So what should be the tax rate we should assume in our model?
Can I ask Prateek, our CFO, to respond?
Yeah, so you should assume 26%.
26%. Thank you very much, and all the best for the coming quarter and the year. Thank you.
Thank you, Manish.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ashwini Agarwal from Demeter Advisors, LLP. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning, sir. Congratulations on turning the bank around and posting such good set of numbers. But as you alluded to in your opening comments, the operating performance was actually quite soft, and the very solid profit growth has been led by lower provisions and to some degree lower taxes and employee cost benefits. So a couple of things there. First is on other income. I mean, with the loan growth that you're seeing of 18-19% and mostly led by retail, I would have expected the other income line to be reasonably strong. What has led to this line being as weak as it is? Is it the treasury which has underperformed? Could you throw some light on that?
Yeah. So, Ashwini, thank you very much, and I'm requesting our CFO, Mr. Prateek, to respond to your question. I'm assuring you there's no cause of worry there. Let Prateek respond. Yes.
Good morning. This is Prateek, Ashwini. And other income, one of the important factors has been the recovery, cash recovery from technically written off account. So, last year we had close to 230 crore rupees of cash recovery coming from technically written off accounts, which is an important driver for our other income. The other elements of other income have shown a targeted rise, a measured rise. And this year, I can confirm to you that our other income will outperform the last year's other income in the quarter four. So with respect to the total recovery happening from TWO, so far in 9 months, we have recovered 113 crores, which is reflecting in our current 9-month P&L. And when we look at every client case that is lying in the stages of final orders, we expect another 150 crore rupees coming from cash recovery from TWO in quarter four. So that will take it well above 250 crores and beat even last year. So our guidance around 950 crores of other income in the full year, and we stand by our guidance, which will be more than 756 crores, which was last year.
Okay. Thank you so much for that, Kitty. Another question. On the employee costs, which are down significantly, and the opening comment suggested that you've received a very favorable report towards provisioning for gratuities and retirement benefits. Is that the reason why these costs are low, or is there some other reason? And going forward, should we take this 650 crores as the, or thereabouts, as the new base and inflation-linked growth over this? Or, how do we forecast this line?
Yeah. Okay. So, see, we had promised in our earlier calls that we will be looking into the treasury gross, the employee cost in detail. So there are two elements to the employee cost. One is the life salary and one is the terminal benefits provision. So life salary was out of question to be reviewed because we are exactly in, aligned to IPA. So that required us to do a total review of treasury,
the terminal benefits cost.
So we appointed a consultant, as mentioned even in our earlier calls and several representations in our discussions with investors. And what that has yielded now is that we were carrying excess provisions in, particularly in the gratuity provisioning. So what we have done is we have taken a very measured approach. First, the extra provision that was held as on 31st March 23 data, we have not reversed that yet. We will wait till 31st March 24, and once we have an audited position, then only we will consider reversing that. But the provision made in quarter 1 and quarter 2, because it is pertaining to the current financial year and the, my financial year is still open, we have gone ahead and reversed that particular thing after having a detailed discussion with our auditors. Now, next test is sustainability of this benefit going forward. Yes. As mentioned in the opening remarks of our MD sir, we used to buy the annuity or pension which had an ROC clause, that is return on corpus clause. So what our gratuity is suggesting, what our consultant is suggesting is that these purchases are not anymore required to be done. If we chose not to do this starting from 1st of April 2024, then we expect a sustainable year-on-year cost saving of at least 100 to 150 crores every year.
So next year, your total employee costs for fiscal 25 would be still be lower than what they were in FY 24, even accounting for the IBA settlement, etc. Would that be a fair assumption?
Yes.
Life cost will be same, but the terminal benefits will be less.
Will be less. Life cost we have already provided, so therefore.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Those are my two questions. I'll come back in line for more questions. Congratulations once again.
Thank you, Ashwin.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants: you may press star and one to ask questions. Our next question is from the line of Sonal from Bowhead. Please go ahead.
Sir, congratulations on a great turnaround in response to your QIP. In fact, you know, we were looking at all the bank's performance and we realized that our bank has been the best growing listed bank in India over the last 5 and 3 years. So my heartiest congratulations to the entire team for this big achievement. Sir, a couple of questions. Firstly, sir, on the gratuity side, you know, when you will, in terms of accounting standards, when you will, you start reducing this number, would you do this over a 1 year period or, you know, whatever accumulative, you know, extra cost you have provided, would you do it over a 3-5 year period so that, you know, the cost to income remains benign for next few years, or would you add it back at one go?
Yeah. Sonal, good morning. And thank you very much for joining in. Prateek, can you just take that answer your forward for
yes. Yes, sir. Good morning, Sonal. Yes. So there are three elements to the cost that we debit to the profit and loss account. One is the past service cost, the other is the current service cost, and the third aspect is the interest cost. Clearly, our planned assets are now more than the obligations, so therefore the interest costs will remain muted. Even the current service cost will remain muted because we are already carrying excess provision. Now, with respect to the past service cost, we will have to revisit this, as I mentioned, as on the fourth quarter of this particular financial year, of how this impact will unfold. And after thorough discussions with our auditors and the best practices, we will take a decision at that point in time. But our endeavor will always be to have a sustainable benefit rather than a spiking P&L.
Yes.
I think that's a great idea because, you know, your cost to income will remain benign for next few years and by that time all the measures you're thinking of would automatically play out and, you know, the operating leverage will be at play in next, yeah, you know, couple of years.
Sonal, just to supplement Prateek, one factor which will have a significant impact is that retirement of high cost employees in the next 2-3 years, which we have indicated in our all earlier calls also, this will also save a good number to us.
So, sir, hypothetically, is it possible? I'm not asking you to give a definitive answer because it's about the, you know, future. That 2-3 years down the line, your employee cost may still be lower than FY24, adding all the, you know, elements of employee cost, including gratuity and everything, and the retirement benefits. You think it's a possibility?
It seems to be a possibility because it will be definitely, tapering, maybe a little benign. That looks like a possibility because the ROC clause will have an impact on that.
So secondly, on the NIM side, for next year, is it too early for me to ask you a question or do you think you're still confident of maintaining this, 3.8, 3.9 or even better rate in the coming years? What kind of tools do you have for the next year, and was any one-off in this, this quarter spike in the, which led to a NIM decline?
Yeah, so yes, it was a one-off and I think let us address this question a little more in detail. Prateek, you have the data with you?
Yes, yes.
So I think I can assure you, Sonal, that our market guidance was 3.75 to 3.90. I can assure you that we will be bettering that market guidance in Q4. And we have the detailed data and calculations done on this front. This was a one-off. And Prateek has the data. I can request Prateek to just quickly go through that.
So Sonal, picking up from what our sir mentioned in the opening remarks, is that the cost of the deposits have already peaked and we expect it to plateau and eventually taper down from that position. The details are as follows. See, what we observed was that there was a 4,300 crores of net deposit growth in Q2. So when a deposit grows, in term deposits I'm talking about, 4,300 crores of growth in Q2 in term deposits. So when deposits grow in Q2, the full impact comes only in Q3. But when I compare that with the growth in term deposits in Q3 itself, it is just 1,100 crores. That's point number one. The second point is, talking about plateau and tapering is a shift in the repricing. So if I make buckets of various deposit based on the interest rates, the high interest rates come between 6 to 7%, which are our card rates, and then some exceptional cases of above 7 to 8%, which are typically bidded corporate deposits. So even in that area, we have already peaked. So 82% of term deposits are sitting in this high interest rate bucket. So the chances of further repricing has gone down. So that translates to as sir mentioned in the opening remarks, 7.24% of the term deposit cost. With a 50 to 51% of a CASA ratio, this translates to 3.6. If I take our savings bank account interest rates also into factor, and which carries a 40% weightage, the additional impact is 1.16. So thus, we concluded that our total quarter four deposit cost will be not more than 4.75 to 4.8%, should be less. What it translates is that the full year cost, so like quarter one it was 4.3, quarter two it was 4.38, then it touched peak 4.82, and if I take 4.75 in the quarter four, it will be less than 4.6. More importantly, there are two additional factors. 10,000 crores from these higher buckets are getting matured in the quarter four itself. And we have made a very good renewal policy in December 23 itself, where the overdue or matured deposits, if they are renewed within the period of 14 days, then they can be renewed only with the value date of maturity. But if the 14 days lapse, then they will be only renewed with prospective rates. And for the broken period, the interest rate will be served based on the actual interest rate or the savings rate, whichever is lower. So therefore, we don't expect this cost to peak anymore. The way we are positioned today, we don't expect it to peak anymore. And hence, our guidance on NIM stands. We are a conservative management. We gave the guidance of 3.75 to 3.9%, and we clearly expect to beat that for your pleasant surprise.
So lastly, sir, on this aspect only, you know, so would you expect your Q1 cost of deposits to be lower than Q4, assuming other things are constant based on what you know today?
Yes.
And secondly, you know, are you planning to, you know, is any repricing happening on the advances side which will also aid to your NIMs in, you know, Q1 or Q4? Thank you.
Yes. So on the advances side, if you observe, the return on the yields on advances are continuously growing. So if you look at my previous quarter, it was 9.5, and it has gone up to, you know, 9.68. So whenever the cost of the deposits or any cost of funds go up, that get translated into the MCLR calculations, and correspondingly the advances will get repriced. And therefore, after having a careful mix, and I must again reiterate that we are still at 69.82 CD ratio. So we have all the levers in our control to ensure and to maintain the NIMs on a sustainable basis even for the times to come.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Sonal.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rakesh Kumar from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. Thank you, sir. And great set of numbers. So a couple of questions. Firstly, like, you know, as we had a discussion before also, so even with higher margin, our cost income is quite high, and that is because of non-interest income number. And related question is on duration of the, you know, trading book, investment trading book. So what is the plan there? Because, you know, couple of banks have increased or have been increasing their duration in the last two quarters. So so what is the plan on that part, if you can help us?
Yeah. Just a moment.
Yeah,
I will ask our Ishak. Ishak could respond to this.
Yeah, actually, in our policy also, we have maintained that a duration of 5, we are comfortable with a duration of 5. And when we foresee that the interest rates are going to come down, actually, then we go for longer duration securities. And this, it is visible in our portfolio also. It has gone to 3.44. If you see, the duration of the portfolio has gone to 3.4. Overall portfolio, I am talking. So it has increased by more than 1 year over there. So actually, we are going with that strategy that whenever we expect the rates to go down, we go for longer these term securities at the time when the yields are high. So we are building that portfolio. We are building the portfolio in long-term government securities also and long-term SDLs also. So there's a lot of appreciation, if you see, in the book value MTM, though it is in the mostly in the HTM part that we park these SDLs and G-Secs. But we are doing this, that we are increasing our duration so that when the rates start coming down, there will be a lot of positive MTM in the book.
Sir, I was also referring to the AFS book in particular, where the duration is relatively on a lower side.
Our AFS book is very small as on date. You see, generally what we do, it is also used for mostly trading. So we park it for some 1, 2 months, 3 months. Because in the HFT, there's a deficiency of 90 days. We have to offload it. But once we see some shorter term, these profits or variances where we can book profits. So actually, it is not a big book. If you see the AFS book as on date, it mostly consists of the CDs. We have settled almost 1600 crores of CDs invested there. So that also takes it down. The CDs are short term, very short term. So the duration because of that is down. Otherwise, it's a smaller book, but we are building up with good corporate bonds also. So in the AFS book also, there is a shift. But because of the quantum of the CDs, the overall impact is not showing in the duration.
So that's the point. Like, you know, even if you're increasing the STM book duration, so you will have only one opportunity in the Q1 when you shift, you know, securities from STM to AFS. So, like, you know, why we are not, you know, having, you know, clear focus on the AFS book instead?
Yes, exactly. There's a focus on the AFS book also, but the last time actually what we had done, we had kept this that we will be parking the longer term securities in our this HTM, so that we have that the first quarter, like you see the shifting of securities from HTM to AFS for this booking of gains and other things. And once this the threshold also is reduced, at that time also there will be shifting, because RBI will be reducing these thresholds will come down. So at that time also there will be some shifting from the HTM. But definitely we are going to increase, and we have augmented our trading staff also at the treasury. We have hired consultants also there. So there's a lot of shift happening in the treasury as on date, and the product bouquet is being reviewed over there. What we are actually doing currently, what we are offering currently, and we have what we are to offer.
Yeah, Rakesh, our CRO, Dr. Altaf Kira, wants to supplement this.
Yeah, in fact, in line with the new valuation guideline that will be effective from 1st of April, we are taking every measures. For example, if you look at the bond in AFS segment, we have built up bond in AFS segment, and then we are trying to build up during this quarter as well as going forward this AFS, because that is the strategy, and that strategy is currently in place. Even if you look at the, we have done around 900 crores in AFS book with respect to bonds, apart from what Mr. Sark said regarding the CDs and the treasury bills.
Thank you.
Got it. So on the credit growth, like what is the expectation that we have for the FY25 credit growth trajectory?
So credit growth, we are expecting in the range of mid-teens. And that is what is expected by the industry. Little bit muted growth is expected on account of lesser attraction towards NBFCs because of the reasons relating to risk weights. And other segments, we are looking quite good. And particularly the home territory of Jammu and Kashmir is seeing a lot of activity relating to the tourism, the horticulture, and the MSME, and the good number of projects coming up in the infrastructure segment. So the overall growth in credit in the next year looks like in the range of around 15%, 15,
16, 17%. So would that mean, sir, that LDR, loan deposit ratio, would not expand, you know, materially from that current level, which is already low?
It will. So our guidance has been that we will try and take it to 72% levels by March and 70 by March 24, and by up to 75% by March 25. The entire idea is to maintain the NIMs. So that is the lever that we will be using to our benefit.
Got it. And sir, last question with respect to TD cost. If I compare your TD cost, I understand and very much appreciate that, you know, it is going to fall from the peak. But at the current level, you know, the TD cost is relatively higher for us as compared to other banks, and we are leader in the state we are operating. So why the TD cost is, you know, so high for us?
So, see, because of the growth that is being witnessed in JNK, there is a lot of competition coming in, and this has been our core territory always, and we are quite committed to protect it, and we are very competitive on the TD cost. But the advantage that comes to us is our CASA, which is, you know, one of the best in the industry, and therefore the weighted average cost of the overall deposits will always and always be lower as compared to the industry. So that is how we manage.
Yeah, Ishaq, you want to add something?
And the weighted average residual maturity of our portfolio is 0.83 years. So it is less than 1 year. And a lot of these high-cost deposits are actually getting matured. Now, what you were saying, that why it is high? You see, we have mostly the retail deposit portfolio. More than 80% is our retail term deposits. So in that, you don't have any that non-withdrawable clause. So you can't impose that non-withdrawable clause. So people, they have the freedom to reinvest it prematurely also. That is what Mr. Prateek, the CFO, actually was hinting at. There has been a lot of shifting from the lower price brackets to the higher price brackets when these rates during this high interest rate regime over the last 2-3
quarters.
Exactly. So if you look at how it has moved the deposit cost, the term deposit cost, it was not as high as this. It was just 6.68% in June. It moved up to 6.8%. It was 6.8% in
September.
Now it has moved up to 4.74. So actually what has happened is that there has been a shift, internal shift. But what now is happening is one part that the policy has been reviewed. So you cannot backdate matured FD from the date of original maturity. You don't pay higher interest for the broken period. So you are at the current saving bank rate, because the term deposit rates are higher than saving bank rate what we are paying. So actually for us it will be effective for the broken period. It will be only the saving bank rate. So a lot of things that have been now reviewed and the policies, other things to manage such shifts and manage that the opportunities actually is with the bank, not with the customer. But the one part that it has to be actually remembered, appreciated, that because of our this term deposit portfolio being majorly retail, we can't impose that non-withdrawable clause in the retail deposits because of the RBI guidelines. And they had this lever available with them to go for reinvestment, and they did that.
Understood, sir. Understood. All the best for the future performance. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rakesh. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of MB Mahesh from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
So just three questions. One is, what is the current cost of your term deposits that you are carrying in your books?
7.24.
Okay. And the second question is that this benefit that you got on the gratuity side, do you think that you will get something similar on the pension side as well?
So what we are doing on the side of pension is that historically we have been buying annuities with a return on corpus clause. So when the beneficiary of the pension passes away, obviously then the pension stops and the corpus comes back to us. But that comes at a high cost. That annuity price is higher than the annuity price without the return on corpus clause.
Yeah.
And because our pensioners count amongst the overall, the staff count is now reducing. And as sir mentioned, that another 1500 senior staff are about to retire in next couple of years. So we will be taking a decision from effective 1st April 24 to go for annuities without return on corpus clause.
Okay.
So that benefit will come.
And that will be sizable as compared to gratuity, because that's a much larger pool.
So we are expecting the amount to be in the range of 100 to 150 crores. So once we do the bidding process and once we receive the bids from the people who are ready to give those annuities to us, the various LIC companies, then we will be able to formalize that exact amount. But this is what we expect it to be.
Okay, my last question.
This will be sustainable benefit.
Perfect. Sorry, my last question. In your pension, if you look at the outstanding, you have about 13,000 employees. How many would be part of defined benefit and defined contribution?
Yeah, so
as on date, out of the 12,000 employees on rolls of the bank, 5,000 are actually covered by the pension benefit, and rest of the employees who have been actually engaged after 2010, they are covered under NPS.
Around 7,000
employees.
7,000. Okay. In your pension pool, sir, what would be the contribution of active members in that pool, if you would have that data?
You see, they don't contribute actually directly. The bank in its CTC contributes 15% of their wage bill towards that. Towards the pension.
No, I just wanted to know, what are the current active members in the pension plan today? Because 5,000 would be people who are currently, who are serving in the bank, and then you would have retired employees.
Exactly. You mean to say those who are actually getting the pension from the bank?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is 6,000 plus employees.
So 5,000 active members who are part of the staff right now and 6,000 who are retired and who are receiving pension.
Exactly.
So total active members is about 11,000.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect, sir. Done. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mahesh.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Kishore Agarwal from Bajaj AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. One on the cost to income side. What was the benefit that you derived from the reversal of provisions in this quarter? And do you think this 30% cost to income is sustainable despite of the pension and gratuity benefit that you will receive next year?
Yes. So, good morning, Kishore. What we have done in this particular quarter is we have reversed 67 crore rupees, and this has been disclosed in our notes to accounts number 4. We have reversed 67 crore rupees the provision towards the gratuity which we made in quarter 1 and quarter 2. Furthermore, we have not provided anything for quarter 3, and we expect not to provide anything as well in quarter 4. So that is a straight answer to that. Now, in terms of sustaining and improving cost to income ratio, we have drawn a proper plan as to how income aspects needs to be looked at, what we are going to do in the other income, and I think someone also asked this question in this call itself, that how we aim to improve our operating profits. So that is what is now the focus of the management. You know, one is of the bank overall will continue to sustain itself as we improve the asset quality, and we expect the credit cost to be benign not only in this year but also in the next financial year. But the focus now will now be a lot more on operating, improving the operating profit thereby, and we don't expect any significant surge in the operating costs. So that factor remaining almost flat. If the income goes up, automatically our cost to income ratio will go below 60.
Okay, understood. And my last question is on the capital adequacy.
Yes, please.
So, capital adequacy is, I have covered in my opening remarks, at 14.18 as of now. And if you add the profit for this 9 months, it will be improved by 1.06%. 138 basis points. So 15.56% above the regulatory requirements.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Anand Dama from MK Global. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. So you talked about the expired deposits and how basically you will actually provide an extra benefit to the customer in terms of what happened to basically renew the deposits in 14 days, you will offer a higher rate. Was there any impact of that particularly in the third quarter apart from the typical, you know, increase in the term deposit cost that you have incurred during the third quarter?
Thank you, Anand, for joining in. Pratik is responding to the question.
Yes. Good morning, Anand. Yes, so as you mentioned, there was an impact. So there was a surge in the net growth in the term deposits in quarter 2 by over 4,000 crores. And that stood for the entire quarter 3. So obviously there is an impact to that. But what we mentioned, that this is peak. And when I say it is peak, what I mean is that going forward, it will either plateau and then eventually start to taper down. One more important aspect is that towards the last week of September, we had raised CDs of around 2,000 crores. That is because we wanted to keep our funding positions ready due to loan sanctions of close to 5,000 plus crores in this particular quarter. Now these CDs have also fallen off and will also start to mature in this particular quarter 4. So even that cost will get completely muted. So this particular quarter witnessed two or three types of peaking things. You know, one is the CD, one is the growth, and secondly, and the last part was the shift in the buckets of the pricing. So higher priced, there was a shift from a low price term deposit to a high price term deposit, but that has also peaked, as you mentioned in the opening remarks. And
to add to that, our overall 10,000 crore rupees of deposits from the higher price bucket are getting matured in quarter four. So therefore, we say this will taper down. And even the average life or the average residual maturity of the total deposits in term case is 0.83, which is less than 1.
So when you say that 10,000 crores of deposits maturing, so what is the cost of that deposit and what basically it would reprice to, whether it will be higher or basically lower?
So these are the deposits that are maturing from the higher brackets, I'm saying. So they are already, so once the interest regime begins to come down, we will be then booking this at a comparatively lower deposit rate.
Actually,
Anand, just a
minute. Anand, out of these 10,000 crores, 8,100 is actually getting matured from the 7 to 8% interest bucket, and the 2,500 crores is getting matured from the 8% and plus bucket. So these are the highest costing buckets from where this amount will be flowing out. So when we replenish this, the costs will be below it, because now the card rates that we are having are from 6 to 7%. 7.10 is the highest rate in the car, in our card rates. So these will actually, if these are replenished, reinvested,
it will be at a lower cost.
It will be at a lower cost, definitely.
Okay, okay, got it. So secondly, you know, we have seen there are a lot of newspapers carrying that there is no snow in the Jammu Kashmir region. Tourism obviously got impacted. We see a lot of cancellations happening. Add to that, you know, there are a lot of snow-fed rivers. If basically the wet season doesn't really start so soon, that could impact hot culture. So what are your thoughts on that? And can you just basically also repeat what is the kind of contingency provision buffer that you carry outside your specific features at this point of time?
Yeah, so Anand, yes, there is a delay in snowfall this year. But what is the good news is that the Met Department is saying, is predicting a wet spell towards end of this month. So this has not happened first time. This has happened earlier also. And besides that, the pilgrim rush for Mata Vaishno Devi Shrine is continuing unabated. So from that point of view, immediately there is no need of worry. I think though the snow has delayed, but we believe that as per the Met Department also, the snowfall will happen a little later.
And sir, to add to this, the apple crop especially, now people have shifted to their drip irrigation and this man-made irrigation. So they are not fully dependent on the rainfall alone, because of the vagaries of the weather, you can never be sure about these things. So people have already started doing such things. There are bore wells, there are tube wells for irrigation, and there are canals for irrigation. Now, for this new high-density plantation, people have installed that drip irrigation scheme. So there's a lot of now man-made irrigation. So it is, they are not so fully dependent on the rain for this irrigation.
Sure. But in this kind of situation, basically, if the weather is doing, is there any provision for restructuring of this zone?
Not yet. As of now, Anand, we don't feel any need of that.
And sir, can you just help us with the contingency provision buffer outside specific features?
Contingency buffer.
Yes. So as we mentioned, we built a lot of contingency. We have a 113 crores additional provision in case of standard advances, which is over and above the RBI requirement. We have a floating provision of 124 crores already made in the March of last year. And we also have a 670 crores of contingency provision. But more importantly, I want to tell you that this particular quarter, we have made additional NPA provision over and above the RBI requirements also, which has actually resulted in improved PCR and absolutely low level of NNPA. So NNPA is now down to a meager 740 odd crores, and in terms of percentage, it is 0.83%.
So this contingency buffer of 6.7 billion that you talked about, it is outside the NPA provision, right?
Yes.
Or the specific
contingency.
Okay.
Anand, just to supplement your question on the tourism front, so tourism is happening much more in summer. So Kashmir is known for more tourism in summer than in winter. So that aspect is absolutely intact.
Great to hear. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ashish Goyal from InvestSavvy Portfolio Management LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Happy to see the results. Congratulations on the team to the team. I had two or three questions. One is, when you say that over the next 2 to 3 years, you will have several senior employees retiring. Now, taking into account that those will possibly be either replaced by junior level staff or maybe done away with in terms of better digital efficiencies, but at the other end you would start having the pension cost on them, what would be the kind of saving for the bank for this set of employees, and how many are we talking about out of the 5,000 people on pension plan? How many of these guys would be going away?
Can you speak?
You see, we are seeing the scheduled superannuation retirements of around 1,500 people over the next 3-4 years. So all of these will be actually from the pension staff. That's the ones who are eligible for pension payments. So one part is, now you are talking about the expenditure. But what you see, they have already rendered services of over 30 years. And they are eligible for full pension when they render 33 years of service. So this is the part, the pension obligation. Their pension obligation is already fully provided for. Now, the only thing that remains to be provided is if there is an increase in DA. Now that the revision has already happened, so over the next year, there will be no revision. And even the escalation on that part, that has been taken care of in this last year, this actuarial valuation already, though they have estimated at a higher level, the load factor is only 3%. So the pension will only increase by 3%. It won't increase by 17% that the this IBA hike says about. So there are two, three things. One, the pension obligation up to the current service, it is already provided for because of more than 33 years of service, and the actuarial valuations are actually done on that. If they leave today also, they will receive the full pension on the basis of the today's pension. So any escalation that will remain is the DA increase only, nothing beyond that.
Yeah. And will there be any saving, because they would obviously be high cost employees, and I would presume that once they retire, their cost to bank would be lower than what it would be today.
Yes. So, Ashish, because the new employees will be coming on NPS, so from the point of view of terminal benefits, we will not be, as far as provident fund is concerned.
Even the current cost is, because currently, if an employee who is retiring, yes, he gets a salary of 2 lakhs, 2.5 lakhs, the new employee, he will get a 60,000, 75,000. So for one employee, you will be able to have, if you hire, exactly. So the cost is definitely will be tapering.
So that's what I was asking. If you were to take a guess on this, what would be the kind of saving you would see going forward in the next 2 to 3 years? Because you did mention that that would be some saving which the bank will be having. So could you roughly take a guess on what kind of saving on an annual basis would be there?
If you have been watching our these con calls and other things, so last time also we had given a guidance that the by 28 we see a cost to income ratio of below 50%. Near about 50%. We'll be achieving that level by the next 3-4 years.
That's good to hear. One other question, in terms of cyclicity of your CASA money coming in, etc., as sir also pointed out that Q2 and Q3 typically are seasons where people draw for expenses and maybe, you know, harvesting, whatever, you know, your sowing and other expenses, plus I think festivities, etc. So in Q4, what kind of bump up do you expect on the deposit side?
Yes, Ashish, there are three core factors in this.
And this is happening for many years. Historically, there are evidence for that. One is that generally in the fourth quarter, the government payments are released, in a large number. So that money comes mainly in CASA. The another thing is the realization of fruits, particularly the apple crop. That happens in the this quarter, the fourth quarter. And we are running a very aggressive POS and QR campaign, that is UPI QR campaign. So that money is straight away going, that is basically the cash in the economy is going to the current accounts. So that is also one enabler. So that's why we are quite confident that while 4.75 to 4.82 we have guided, that will be more supported by these factors of improving our CASA ratio. And this, there are historical evidences to this, what I'm saying. Yes.
Yeah. And one last question, this is more generic. If you were to say top two or three points which you feel make you excited about the future and maybe one or two points which you feel keep you up at night that could be an issue, what would those be? This is a very generic one, but would be good to hear from you.
Good. You have asked this. Let me say there are many, but I'll just say two, three. You see the story of assets quality of the bank. It is phenomenal, actually, for the last 2 years. If you see every quarter, whatever we are saying, we are promising even better than that. So that will continue because now that type of discipline is actually institutionalized. That is one. Another thing is the profitability of the bank going every quarter, every year. We are actually creating records. So that is definitely is going to do a lot of good to the bank. And the other few things is the digital transformation, which I indicated in my opening remarks. I mean, the type of digital initiatives which we have taken are unprecedented, which are going to impact not only the business, but the cost factors of the bank also. And then lot of things are being done in the capacity building of the bank. That is particularly the creating the able manpower and creating the leadership of the bank for future. So that is something which will give a long-term impact to the bank as far as the loyalty, the business and the commitment is concerned. And the last one is the type of investment we are now doing in our treasury. It has never happened again. Treasury is operating from Mumbai. Earlier it was happening from Srinagar. So a lot of investment we have already done in the form of manpower. Now we are engaged with a good consultant, and we are expecting treasury to be another good profit center for the bank going forward in a year or so. So all these factors together make me too much bullish on the future of the bank. That is one. The challenge, if you ask me, is the only that God forbid the law and order situation should remain as it is today.
But
as of now we don't find any apprehension.
There is no threat or apprehension.
Great. Thank you, sir. That's great. And one last bit. Are you actually seeing the benefit of the infrastructure push, etc., coming in? Because, you know, the numbers are still to fully reflect that. So when do you think they will start reflecting it in a big way?
Yeah.
The whole infrastructure
push. As far as direct funding to these big companies which are engaged in the infrastructure projects is concerned, we have a limited presence there. But the equipments, generally the subcontractors are local people. So the equipments, the heavy equipments which are required by them are financed by us. So you will see that going forward also, we will have this type of business happening in MSME segment, which is already happening actually. It will increase further.
Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you and congratulations once again.
Thank you, Ashish.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be the last question of the day from the line of Bunty Chawla from IDBI. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity and congrats on the numbers. Sorry if I am repetitive. Just one, as we have seen during this quarter, the restructured assets has increased on a sequential basis and that too from the JNK portfolio. If you can share the reason behind that and how one should see the, because you have already highlighted banning credit cost next year, can we see any risk from arising from this restructured assets going forward? So if you can share your outlook on that.
Yeah, thank you, Bunty, for joining in. Let me request Ishaq to take this question. But before that, I assure you that there is absolutely no worry on this aspect. Yeah, Ashish.
Bunty, this increase is actually a good thing if you have compared it with the last quarter. This is a shift from the this NPA to a standard. So there has been an upgrade. What actually MD sir also covered in his this presentation earlier speech, that there has been an upgrade of almost 100 crores in the restructured book. So actually it is not a new restructuring. It is a shift from the NPA to a standard restructured asset. So this is a good thing that has happened. So it is very good positive thing.
So that is a thing to be appreciated.
So, how, going forward, how this should move in terms of credit cost for us for next year as such?
Yeah, so, credit cost, we have already indicated that it will remain near zero in this year, in 2024 also and 25 also.
Okay. And sir, lastly, from a long-term perspective, how we are seeing the ROA trajectory going forward? Any targeted number we are trying to achieve in next 3 to 4 or 5 years? If you can share some thought process on that, sir.
Yes. I think we have a guidance which is already there. We have a guidance of around 1.3 to 1.4 in March 2028. And now this quarter, I think we are at 1.15. So in the near term, we can see to 1.25 going.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. That was very helpful, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of the day. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
So, thank you, everyone. And thank you, Chintan and team. And thank you to all the participants for joining in today. For any further questions, queries, details, comments on anything else, the team is always available and you can also direct your queries to our investor relations desk and we will definitely respond. Thank you and have a nice day.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.